Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our review series examines books, movies, music, and other media in the light of God's truth. We pray that it will be eye-opening, instructional, and beneficial for your daily walk with Christ. Welcome to CPR, Conservative Pastor Response. I am Nathaniel Mayhew, and I'll be your host today as we take a look at Search for Biblical Truth and the Importance of Defending the Christian Faith. This is part two of our series. Today we'll be considering the book The Defense Never Rests by Craig Parton. This book can be purchased on Amazon, used, or at cph.org for less than $11. We'll be looking at the 2015 edition of this book. And we're glad that you're joining us today. I have with me today Pastor Mark Tiefel, who will be giving us some insights on this book. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Nathaniel. How are you doing?
Very good. So we're taking a look at Craig Parton's book, The Defense Never Rests. The subtitle of this book is A Lawyer's Quest for the Gospel. First of all, what did you think about the book?
The first time I read The Defense Never Rests was when I was in seminary. And it made a profound impact on my faith and my understanding of Christianity. Very positive about this book. I think it's a great resource to use, and I recommend it for any Christian.
So this is an apologetic book. For those of our listeners who don't know what that means, can you kind of give us a little bit of background on what an apologetic book is?
Yeah, an apologetic book comes from the perspective of defending the Christian faith against attack. The realm of apologetics deals with the rational arguments that a Christian will hear in the world against the Bible, against Christ, against basically any part of the Christian faith. And so a book that comes from an apologetic perspective seeks to throw out some of those arguments and show how the Bible has a rational defense, because our God is a rational God who created reason, and the Christian faith has a solid foundation built in history and archaeology and geology and all those academic fields. Apologetics approaches the study from that perspective.
So as we consider this book, this is sort of our part two, building on the first book that we looked at, The Case for Christ. And Craig Parton comes at this apologetic focus in a little bit different way than Lee Strobel does. So what would you say is the biggest, maybe the most striking difference between these two books?
Yeah, there's several differences. You know, as we were doing this study together, we kind of randomly picked these two books to look at, but then we realized once we kind of got into it that they really work well together to help the Christian fully understand the realm of apologetics, both with its positives and its negatives. And I think one of the main positives about Craig Parton's book is that he really helps focus the reader on the gospel and how the gospel is absolutely essential to apologetics. There's, you know, Lee Strobel, the author of Case for Christ, he makes many good points, many solid biblical points. He defends the Bible very well, but he often does so with the gospel as kind of an afterthought. You know, whereas Craig Parton keeps the gospel centered right from the very beginning. You know, Craig Parton's introduction in The Defense Never Rests is, whatever happened to the gospel? That's what his introduction is called. So for the Christian who focuses on the gospel, and obviously we know how important that is, Craig Parton does a great job of helping the reader understand how the gospel works with apologetics.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that importance of the gospel in Craig Parton's book, because Lee Strobel and Craig Parton have some interesting similarities in their journey to the Christian faith. Now, there are also some striking differences. And so tell us a little bit about Craig Parton's journey to where he is as he's writing this book, where he came from, and why this importance of the gospel is such an influential thing, not only to him, but also in his book as he gives us that information.
Yeah, the first half of The Defense Never Rests is really Craig Parton's story of becoming a Christian. He begins the book talking about his life many years ago before he got to the point where he is now, to give the reader a background of how influential the gospel and particularly Lutheran theology was for his life. And so you get an in-depth look not only on the background of why he wrote the book, but kind of a look into his life as well. But Craig Parton's came from the background of being an evangelical Christian. Now, that sounds like a good thing. The word evangelical comes from the Greek word for gospel. So, you know, many of our churches are called evangelical churches, Lutheran evangelical church. But in America, the word evangelical has kind of taken on a meaning of its own. And it's really become a particular brand of Christianity that is much different than the actual definition of the word evangelical. Evangelical churches now, we might recognize them as kind of the mega churches, non-denominational churches. They come from a Reformed background in theology. They don't really take black and white hardline stances on biblical doctrine. They're more free-flowing, easygoing, trying to incorporate new members. And so that was Craig Parton's background prior to writing this book. He lays that out in the first couple chapters and then talks about how he was finally introduced to Lutheran theology, focused on the gospel and focused on the idea that every teaching of God's word is important, and how that made a very profound impact on his faith and on his life and led him to the point where he is now. And he kind of ends the book on that note too, by comparing the Lutheran church with these mainline evangelical churches we see in America today.
You know, a couple of things that I thought were so valuable to read in his book were the things that he noticed after leaving the evangelical churches and coming to where he is today. As he looked back, he noticed the things that were missing. And when he was there, when he first became a Christian and he was part of those mainline denominations, he was going, he was busy, he learned apologetics there, and he gives them a lot of credit for what he learned, the good things that he learned there. But he also recognized there was something missing, and he talks about a couple of things in particular. He talks about the distinction between sanctification and justification, which was missing in the evangelical churches. In fact, he makes a striking point in there where he says these evangelical churches, if you go back to the history of the Reformation, you know, they had this knee-jerk reaction away from Catholicism. They wanted to be as far away from Catholicism as they possibly could. Yeah. And he said what's happened is by trying to separate themselves so much from the outward appearance of Catholicism, doctrinally they have become just like the Roman Catholic Church. They've become a church of works. And he says that he actually became tied to the church because he had to do all of these things in order to have an assurance of salvation. And then he also talks a little bit about the importance of the distinction between the law and the gospel, which he again said was vacant in his early introduction to Christianity in those mainline denominations. And he says that's really what brings you to understand what the gospel is all about, is a proper teaching of the law, which leads you then to a proper understanding and valuing of the gospel. Any thoughts on
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. And you know, you started off by saying he references the distinction between sanctification and justification. And immediately in my head, I thought law gospel. And you eventually got to law and gospel. But you can't make that distinction between the Christian sanctification and justification without understanding the difference between law and gospel. And that's one of the main problems with the evangelical church in America, whatever form it may come in, is that they play fast and loose kind of with the law and the gospel and kind of meld the two together. And you're right, it is a reaction against the formalism of the Roman Catholic Church, but it becomes essentially the same thing because it's driven by law, it's driven by obligation and by what you must do in order to prove the worthiness of yourself being a Christian. And Craig Parton really hits on that topic well and shows how traditional Lutheranism and Lutheranism by definition, you know, we know that Lutheranism has problems too in America, but the traditional Lutheranism, the way it was meant to be practiced, is designed to highlight law and gospel, and therefore bring the Christian into a proper realization of sanctification and justification. And he really does a really good job of pointing that out.
Going back to what we had talked about earlier, that it's that very point then that also makes such an important distinction between the case for Christ and the defense never rests, isn't it? Because
yeah.
because Lee Strobel never gets to that point. He still doesn't really understand that distinction between the law and the gospel that Parton came to understand. He still is where Craig Parton was before he came to that understanding. So there's a lot of value in what Lee Strobel has, but Parton takes it now to the next level.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you mention that because Lee Strobel actually writes about his experience growing up. He was raised in a Protestant church. He doesn't use the name Lutheran, but by everything he defines, it looks exactly like your traditional Lutheran church. But he said he went to catechism class, and his parents brought him through confirmation, and he talks about the confirmation vows that he was supposed to take, and how at that time he looked at that as his graduation from the church, and it just fits the Lutheran church. And Lee Strobel kind of pointed out those things as insufficiencies in the Lutheran church, too much formalism, again, as we mentioned before. But in Parton's book, he talks about confirmation, he talks about the catechism, he talks about the Lord's Supper, those aspects of the Lutheran church, and talks about them as blessings, mm-hmm. how these were things that they missed in the evangelical church. He mentions a number of times his daughters, how he was so thankful that when they were approaching the age of confirmation, they found a Lutheran church that practiced confirmation so that his daughters would have that instruction. So they're, Lee Strobel, Craig Parton, they're talking about the same thing, but they come at it from different perspectives because there's a lack of understanding there about the true nature of why the Lutheran church does those things.
One of the other things that I think is so important in Parton's book, we're talking about law and gospel, but one of the other things he also draws out is the distinction in the evangelical church and the Christian, the true Christian church with practice in Lutheranism, is the understanding of the sacraments. And that was really, it was really the whole issue on the sacraments that led him to say there's something missing here in the evangelical church, to seek out then the Lutheran church. Do you want to talk a little bit about what he saw within the sacraments, what he was missing, and what is taught of the sacraments in the evangelical church?
Yeah, well, most people will know just from experience, if you're familiar with any Christian church, you know that the topic of the sacraments, and what we mean by that is baptism and communion in particular, that's a big striking point among a lot of different churches and Christian denominations. And Parton touches on how that difference between what Reformed churches or evangelical churches teach and what Lutheran churches teach is very important to the Christian faith. And essentially, the Lutheran church, the Lutheran theology, looks at the sacraments as God's way of bringing his grace and forgiveness to the individual. They're not just symbols of vain formalism, as some of the evangelical church would kind of have us think, or they're not just representations of things that God is doing for us. God actually uses the sacraments to bring his grace and forgiveness to us. And so Parton makes that connection between an emphasis on the gospel in the Christian's life and how important that is, to now how God tells us that the gospel comes to us through baptism and the Lord's Supper, through the sacraments, and how that is so essential for the Christian. He's got a nice chapter here in his book about Lutheran worship and the liturgical service. And in our modern day, we know how many people oppose that kind of worship, deep meditative worship, sitting down, what some people might call boring, formalistic. Craig Parton makes a really good case for how necessary that is in our modern age for people to sit down and to just meditate and think and learn from the Word of God, instead of the type of worship that is more entertainment-based, which you see in a lot of the mega churches today.
The liturgy, the liturgical formalism, that too brings out the law and the gospel, doesn't it? What you were talking about with the sacraments, the misunderstanding in connection with the sacraments is a misunderstanding of God's law and gospel. What you see in the worship service is a lack of understanding of the law and the gospel. So in the end, we come back to that basic premise again of the proper distinction or understanding between the law and the gospel. When Craig Parton was finally fed up with the evangelical churches, and he said, you know, I'm tired of this, I've got to find something that has more substance, more truth, he talked with one of his mentors, and he said, you know, where do I go? What do I do? What am I looking for? And his mentor gives him this quote. He says, first, whatever you do, do not choose a church based on their youth group. And second, when you do visit, listen to what they say about Christ. And Parton says, the two best pieces of advice I've ever heard on what to look for and what not to look for in a church. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, as you're reading that quote, it reminds me of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, where God says very clearly, when you draw near to the house of the Lord, draw near to listen rather than to speak. And that's Solomon talking there. Everybody recognizes Solomon as the wisest man in the world. And so this isn't just Parton's idea. This isn't just his mentor's idea. This isn't just something that the Lutheran Church uses to try to keep people in church. This comes from the Word of God, that the most important aspect of our worship should be listening and learning from God's Word. And the more entertainment we add to our worship, the more bells and whistles, if you will, that's going to hinder the individual's ability to deeply meditate and listen on the Word of God. And I think he brings up an excellent point of how important that is. And as we're making these connections, this isn't just something that involves our worship. This isn't just something that we do on Sunday morning for an hour and then we leave and it disassociates from the rest of our lives. This is deeply connected to law and gospel, justification and sanctification. That's the foundation of our Christian life. If our worship is just something arbitrary that's on the back burner that we really don't think is that important for our Christian lives, why are we doing it then? Right. And I think that's why you see a lot of people perhaps leaving the church, because they have this disconnect between our worship and our theology. When Parton does a good job of bringing the two back together and then using that as an apologetic base to defend the Christian faith.
Well, the other point that he makes, too, is that within the mainline denominations where they want to have the music that is just like the music of the world, they want to have the stage just like the theater of the world. He said, finally, people come to church and they say, why am I coming here when it's just like everything else that's out there in the world? Yeah. And he comments also that he would go to church in these evangelical churches, and he said people were wearing shorts and flip-flops. And he says, I go to work. And I dress my best because I respect the court, the judge, the jury that's there. I want to show respect to them by the way I dress. And he says, why isn't that the case in the church? We should be showing more respect to God when we go to church, and yet people look like they're going there on vacation. And that was a striking thing for him also, as he recognized that people, they were treating God just like they treated everything else in the world. God was no longer holy. We had brought God down to our level instead of going to church in order to be lifted up to God's level.
Yep. You know, there's pros and cons on both sides. And, you know, none of us argues for a dress code in church. None of us wants to think of God as an impersonal God who doesn't have any association with us. But you're right. He points out some of those failings in the American church, where really, by and large, the worship experience has been cheapened. It's been dumbed down to, like you said, nothing different than what I would see in the secular world, nothing different than maybe going to a movie theater or maybe going to a music concert where I'm there to be entertained. How long can you keep my stimulus attracted to what's going on rather than just approaching the worship from the objective Word of God and trying to sit quietly and learn something from God instead of focusing so much on what we can offer to God in return. He really highlights some of the positives and negatives there. Well, one of the quotes that I like that he uses when he's talking about Lutheran worship and making these applications, this comes near the end of his book when he's bringing all these thoughts together. He talks about Lutheran worship, both its style and its substance. The Lutheran style and Lutheran substance in worship, he said, is generated toward helping the individual grow closer to God. by drawing that individual to the Word of God. And he uses this illustration where he says, Lutheran substance is like fine crystal stemware to a fine wine, being the Lutheran style. So it's like the substance is that wine that we have in your cup. And we're not talking about communion here. We're talking about an illustration. But to drink that wine, you want a nice vessel too. You want a nice chalice in order to hold that. That's the Lutheran style. And so what he says, what many churches are trying to do is they're trying to keep that wine. They're trying to keep that substance, but they're dumbing down the style so that it's like a styrofoam cup.
Yeah.
You know, they're both must go together to really reach the maximum level in our worship where we really are learning and drawing closer to God. And that was a nice application that he makes.
Let's talk about who the book would be intended for. Who is in our audience, as people are listening, who is really going to value from reading this book? What is it going to bring for our listeners?
Yeah, I think it's, like we said before, it's a good companion resource to Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ. Lee Strobel talks in a much more simplified format. He really just deals with some of the basic facts, whereas Craig Parton gets into more of the theological issues. And so I think that Parton's book would be intended mainly for the mature Christian, perhaps reaching adulthood. I usually recommend it for individuals who have already been confirmed. Somebody who has a solid foundation of what the Bible teaches, is really the primary audience, I think. Whereas Strobel's book is kind of intended for the atheist perspective, somebody who may not know much about the Bible, doesn't really get into deep theological concepts as Parton's book does. And then obviously, like we've been talking about, Parton gets into the specifics about Lutheran theology, which, you need to have education in background in that to really grasp a lot of the things he's talking about.
So Lee Strobel sort of introduces us to apologetics and the concepts of defending the faith, showing that Christianity, there are good reasons to believe and to understand and to accept the tenets of Christianity, whereas Parton then takes it one step further and says there are some additional things to keep in mind. He deals with worship, the importance of that, in particular the differences between the law and the gospel and how that's carried out in the sacraments, in worship, in doctrine, and in practice. And a real valuable stepping stone then from The Case for Christ into The Defense Never Rests.
Yeah, absolutely. And Parton is a lecturer at the International Academy of Apologetics in France. So he's a scholar, and he kind of writes from that perspective. You got a lot of footnotes. He adds in a lot of different resources. Lee Strobel is a former newspaper editor. So he doesn't really, he looks at the sources, but he doesn't really write it in such a scholarly way. And there's advantages to both.
Sure.
You know, sometimes it's nice to have the more simplified approach. Sometimes it's nice to get a little deeper into the issues. And then, you know, on top of those things that we mentioned, Parton's book is also good to read after because it will address some of the deficiencies of Lee Strobel's book coming from that Reformed evangelical perspective.
Well, thanks a lot, Mark. We're glad to have you with us. Thank you for joining us also as we take another episode of Conservative Pastor Response. We hope that you have benefited from our two-part series on these books dealing with apologetics and defending the Christian faith, both with Lee Strobel and Craig Parton. We hope that you'll join us again next time on CPR.
We invite you to join us every week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior for sinners. Until next week, take comfort in the fact that God is your rock and ever-present help in trouble.